Good afternoon, Muskegon. The music just gets me hype. It's July 10th, 2026. Hi, I'm your host, Gregory T. Roberts, and my other host is
Melvin C. Barnes II.
Welcome to Community Focus, the show that breaks the mirrors and gets rid of the smoke, bringing you information that's what's happening in the world and the community. Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for taking your time. We're on all social media. If you are driving and would like to take part, pull over. Catch us on WVS 103.7 The Beat or M106 Facebook site, and you can ask our guests a question. What's the weather like, sir?
A beautiful Friday afternoon here in Muskegon. Low today 65, high of 84. A little cloudy still. Tomorrow, a sunny day is expected. Low 64, high of 86. Sunday, sunny, low 62, high of 85. Monday, low 66, high 87. Tuesday, low 70, high of 87. And Wednesday, low 71, high of 87. Expect to see the sun out all of those days.
Nice. A couple things that I need to get out before your top five is, number one, we do this and we do this show every week and we never get a chance to say thank you to Lady J for all the work that she does. She works behind the scenes. So, Janae, thank you so much. PA, Rob, behind, of course, we love you guys. And number two, happy 65th birthday to my wife, Emily. I have to get that out.
Happy birthday, Emily.
It's hard to be married to me. I'm not going to lie. You got to have some patience. When you pray for patience, don't pray to be married to me. All right. What's your top five?
Well, last week, one of my favorite things is just listening to live music in the summer. Had a chance to hear Big Daddy Fox and the Junkyard Dogs.
Yeah.
Several people in the band I know, and just had a great time. So it got to me thinking, I love listening to music in the summertime. I was thinking, sitting back in my chair, in my lawn chair, what gives me a summer vibe? So I got five songs. My disclaimer, two disclaimers. My wife helped me with the list, but it is not her list. Number two, Summertime by DJ Jazzy Jeff and Fresh Prince is not on my list.
Okay.
My list.
Wow.
I'm 64 years old. Okay. Keep it in mind. Okay. Number five, I'm going in reverse order. Holding On, Gregory Porter and Kim, big jazz fan, all right?
Okay.
Number four, I Wish, Stevie Wonder.
Yep.
Number three, Gotta Give It Up, Marvin Gaye. Long version.
The long version.
Long version. Okay, so your old school. Version. All right. Number two, this might surprise some people, but No Diggity.
Huh. No doubt.
Love it. Blackstreet with Dr. Dre. My number one, I'm qualified in saying anything by Frankie Beverly and Maze gives you that summer vibe, but I'm going to go number one, Before I Let Go.
That's a good list. We could spend the whole show talking about that one, man.
Those are my summertime vibe songs. It might change by tomorrow.
We're sitting up, and we have a very interesting guy. He's very talented. Introduce our guest.
We're pleased to welcome to the program for the first time, young man, Ricardo Williams Winston, who is the Community Program Coordinator for Access Health. We're going to ask you first, welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's good to be here. Thank you.
Tell people a little bit about yourself, and then we'll talk about Access Health and some things you have going on.
Yeah. So I'm Ricardo Williams Winston, 43. I don't know if y'all needed my age, but out there, you know, I want to put my age out there too, so you put yours out there. I'm from Muskegon Heights. I'm actually a Muskegon Heights resident. Born there, grew up there my whole life, graduated from Muskegon Catholic.
Okay.
Now I've been with Access Health for about 2 years now on the community side of things.
Okay.
Just get to work with the community and bring different programs and different events to the community. So I love it.
Hold up. I'm an Muskegon Catholic.
Yeah. I'm between Heights and Big Reds here. So
I grew up, but I grew up in the Heights though.
Okay.
Now, before we get serious, when he gave his top five,
he made the face. Oh man,
you talk about, what's your song?
Summertime is 100% a summer anthem. Like you put that on and it's perfect summer. Now y'all talking about like some slingshot music, you know, when the old cats had a slingshot. You can hear them coming from like two, three blocks away. That's Beverly and Maze, right?
I will say, almost every list, I checked some other lists, and Summertime And before I let go, almost everybody's top two summers. But summertime just don't make it's okay. Just don't make my list.
It's, you know, maybe it's a maybe yeah.
It's an age thing.
It's a generational thing.
Generational. Yeah. Okay. All right. Tell people what Access Health is, and then talk about the community. You said you're on a community side. Yeah. What that means.
So Access Health is actually two sides to Access mm-hmm. Health. Our first side is we have a community-based healthcare program designed for small businesses mm-hmm. of a 50 or less employees, zero. Mm-hmm. $0 deductible, $72 a month.
Okay.
And then on the community side, we have all of our community-based programs. I don't know if you guys know Hillary Ross. She's yes. my manager. Yes. Yep. Yes. So she is my manager mm-hmm. and she runs the community-based side. So we have our CHW services. We have a payee services for people that receive financial aid. We also have the Blueprint Project, which I am over.
Okay.
And that is our community hub located in the Heights.
Yeah. Okay. Now let's talk about, you guys have a program coming up we want to talk about today.
Yes.
Let's talk about that program.
Yes. Local Government 101, the mystery of the millage.
All right.
So we just took a look at things that are going on right now. And we believe that understanding the power that your local government has mm-hmm. is more important now more than ever, especially yes. with everything going on at the federal level. I won't get political, but everything that's going on at the federal level, it's important to understand the power that you have at your local level.
Exactly.
And how those people and how the people that you elect affect your day-to-day life.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Now, explain to people, because you said it's important, but I don't think people really get from those small elections.
Yeah.
Involves your day-to-day operations. Not only do those small operations, it goes further than that. But if you don't vote, you don't have a dog in the fight
at all. And I think that's one of the things that we also want to address is I think the reason that people don't vote as much is because they just don't feel like they know enough.
Yeah,
they're like, this is just a councilman. Well, how is he affecting my life? How is he doing anything for me?
Mm-hmm.
But these are the people that actually affect your day-to-day life some of the most in some instances.
Sure.
So just getting that education out to people, I think hopefully our hope is that activates people to get more involved in our local elections.
Okay.
And this is taking place when?
July 25th at the Access Health Building from 1 to 2:30.
18th or 25th?
The 25th.
Oh, okay.
25th.
Okay. Okay. And what time is that?
It's at 1 and it goes till 2:30. We have Commissioner Jay Kilgo coming to facilitate the course.
Yep. So you have somebody who's actually involved in it right now.
Yes.
Teaching this course.
Yes.
My guess is it's probably going to morph it to some other issues.
Oh, most definitely. I think once you get people together in front of somebody who they feel can actually do something,
mm-hmm.
It just takes on a life of its own.
Okay.
But this is actually a three-part series that we're planning. Okay. This is just the first part of it. The second part of it is going to be the power of your local government.
Okay.
So actually, that's really going to break down how they affect your day-to-day life. This first one's going to be explaining millages, how to read a ballot, you know, mm-hmm. more of those surface level things.
Yeah.
But the second one's going to get a little bit more in depth.
Okay.
Talk about that, because knowledge is power. I have a lot of people, because we've been covering politics forever and a day.
Yeah.
But talk about knowledge is power, because I get phone calls. Well, how should you vote? Study.
Right.
You know, study. Find out. Well, Greg, are you going to vote? Read the ballot. Who do you think? Talk a little bit about that.
I think that's part of the time that we live in. People are afraid to ask questions.
Mm.
Right. People are afraid to ask questions because they feel like, oh, well, I don't want to be the one who don't know anything.
Uh-huh.
But we have to get away from that, because nobody knows everything. You have to be willing to ask questions to get the information that you need. So
exactly.
If you're wondering about, okay, should I vote for this person or what their stance is, go out to their, go out to their events that they're mm-hmm. speaking at, look online, see what their policies are before you just vote based on, okay, grandma, who you voting for? Okay, bet. My grandma voted for him, so that's good enough for me if you even get out to vote.
Yeah.
Just education is huge.
And
knowing who to vote for and how it's going to affect you.
Let me ask you again. I mean, because part of your specialty is getting out and engaging with the community.
Yes.
For local candidates, I've seen some local candidates knock on doors and some not knock on doors. I've seen mm-hmm. some run Facebook only campaigns. Do you think that's one of the problems, or is there a way that local candidates can kind of improve their engagement with the community?
Yeah, I think that's kind of is sort of the, some of the problems that we have here. Because I, there's no secret, Muskegon Heights, we're kind of cliquish at times.
Sure.
You know, we stay very close to our circles. So we don't like to go outside. We stay in our own echo chambers and just get the same information over and over again. So yeah, it's definitely important for candidates to step outside the box. Yeah, I encourage, if you do like an old school door knocking campaign, I think that will be huge because people don't do that anymore. You know, even us, I'm guilty of this. I get into having Facebook do a lot of heavy lifting, whereas we should be getting out there more and connecting with the people. And I think when you get out there and make those face-to-face connections, now you have not only somebody who's going to vote for you, but they're going to be an advocate for you and a champion for you.
Because
they're like, not only does this person seem to care, they actually came to my house, knocked on my door, had a conversation with me. And so they're going to spread that around to all their friends.
Okay. You said that was three parts. You're going to do this part, and then you said the second?
The second is, we don't have the date for the second one yet.
Okay, but it'll entail what?
It's going to be on the power of local government. So it's really going to get down into how it affects your day-to-day and how, what can local government do versus federal or state, and you know, just try to get some of the mystery out of local government, because I think that's the problem that we have. A lot of people is just, they don't know, and you don't know what you don't know.
Now speaking of local government, and I say this to every time we interview candidates, is it true that the dog that barks the loudest gets the bone? In other words, if you look at the dollars that the city of Muskegon is getting versus the dollars that Muskegon Heights have, is because Muskegon is down barking in Lansing.
Oh, yeah.
Versus what people are saying. Now, some people are saying stuff to improve Muskegon Heights, but I think people are barking louder in the city of Muskegon.
I agree with that. I would agree with that. I think Muskegon is downtown Muskegon, that area's definitely done a good job getting monies in, but they've made a point of that, you know. But that all, once again, goes back to your local election. They have their, you know, they're activated, their voter base is activated, so more people are getting out and voting. So hopefully in the Heights, we can start to get those voter numbers up, you know, so people feel like they're making more of a change and their voices are being heard.
So we got the event coming up on the 25th, 1 to 2:30 at Access Health. What kind of feedback have you gotten? I know this has been out for a little while. I've seen it maybe the last few days posted. What kind of feedback have you been getting?
Actually, surprisingly, really good feedback. Not surprisingly really good feedback, but just the amount of feedback that we've gotten. Just a lot of people have reached out to us, seeing how they can be involved. Actually, the city of Muskegon reached out to see how they can actually get more involved in it. So that alone was huge. And just people reaching out, emailing me, you know, what's the next thing? Hey, here's a suggestion for what you should be talking about next. So I like getting those kind of emails and things where people are actually giving their ideas so we can activate them and do something with them. Because that's part of my whole job, is being in the community. And I just straight up ask people, what do y'all need? You know, what do you feel like you need that's going to affect you right now? Not something that's, you know, down the line, because a lot of programs are designed to help you 2 years from now. Well, that's fine. But I need help right now. What can you give me right now that's going to put me in a better place than I am today?
How important is it for people to become poll watchers or getting involved in somebody's campaign instead of staying home?
I think it's very important, especially if you want to learn more of the ins and outs of the process. Is as much as you can get involved with it, then I suggest you do that. I think if there's a candidate that you feel strongly about, you should definitely support them any way you can. Sometimes it doesn't have to be monetary. I think a lot of people think it's got to be money, but just giving your time, you know, being the person to actually go to those, because the candidate can't get to every single, you know, we've got 12,000 people in the house. You can't get to every single person, but if you have a team of people that believe in you, once again, that goes back to creating those champions and advocates that really get out there and spread your message.
That's good.
You know, I'm going to say you as an expert in community engagement. Let me just ask you in general. Sometimes it's a message, sometimes it's a message. Even in your role, just with the other things that you do at Access Health, what is it we need to do better? You know, TV station, government, church, in terms of getting messages to people, what is it we all need to do better in our institutions, you think?
Well, that's funny. I was actually thinking about this. I still believe that the church has so much power in our community. So I think if we could get churches more activated in getting the word out, that would be amazing. Because, you know, you like I went back to the grandma again. You got your grandma still go to church. You know, everybody listens to grandma. So she's like, hey, this program's going on. I think y'all should go to it. The people are more apt to listen to it, you know, especially. Yeah. And just doing what you guys do, having us come on, talk about the programs that we have going on. I think that's huge, especially. But it really, it takes the whole community. Like the cliche is it takes a village, you know,
right.
That is 100% true. That's, I can't be everywhere at once that I would like to be. But if I could get my group of people that's like, hey, Ricardo's putting this on. You know, he always puts on good programs. Access Health always puts on good, the Blueprint Project puts on good programs. Then that's why that helps us tremendously. That's why we have in the Blueprint Project, we have what's called the SIG, which is the Community Investment Group. And it's made up of community members that are trusted community members that bring, you know, we have our meetings every 2 weeks. And I'm like, what are you guys hearing out there? What are people saying that they need? They feel like they need to be educated on. And they bring it back to me. I'm like, all right. You know, I get with Hillary and the rest of the team. We put a program together. Then we come back to the SIG. How's this look? Do you think this is what people are looking for? Yeah, you know, Carla, that ain't quite it. Okay, I'll go back and I'll work on it again. Then bring it back. And then through them, we disperse it out to the community.
Make sure we say Hillary Ross, not Hillary.
Yes, Hillary Ross.
You got to scold me. You got to be specific.
The one and only Hillary Ross.
Yeah.
Now, how important? Now, I'm going to go there. Okay. I'm going to go there. The following words are my opinion and opinion only. If you have an opinion, see me. All right. How can we get people to understand that it's in this village that is no middle class, it's rich versus poor?
Yeah.
And if we get together and understand that in society is rich versus poor, not black versus white, not all these things to separate us, but if we come together to understand what the true issues are, how can we get that? Or do you disagree?
No, I 100% agree with you, especially in today's economic climate. Is definitely the haves versus the have-nots. Right. And I run into that. We run into that because we're trying to get more into the rural areas, you know, those rural outlying areas. But they're, you know, sometimes they're very closed off communities, just like the inner cities are very closed off communities. But the thing is, they have the same problems.
Sure.
Poor is poor.
Poor is poor.
I mean, I like to use very plain language. I don't like to use their people are food insecure. They are hungry. You know, they're not a defeat. They're poor.
Right.
You know, and it's the same issues that they run into. But until people can realize, oh, we're on the same. They look at us the same. They might think our you know, our poor might have a capital O where yours is a lowercase, but it's still the same word. It's still the same thing. So that's really something that I think about a lot, is how can we bridge that and get people to understand that it is attack against a disadvantage. And the same issues that you run into at the trailer park are the same issues somebody else is going to run into in the projects or something like that. You know,
pass the plate. He's preaching. You better listen to this young man.
And as you're saying, what better even healthcare where, you know, once you're sick.
You're sick.
You know, no matter how much money, it matters what money you got, but 99% of us in the same place.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have concierge doctors and all of that. You know, we're in the same line.
Same spot.
And Hackley Emergency, you know, waiting to be seen.
Yeah, I mean, it's your food desert, you know.
Yeah.
In the Muskegon Heights, desert in the trailer park.
Yeah.
They don't have access to fresh fruits and things like that.
Sure.
But yeah, it's the problems are the same, but we're just so divided, you know, as a people. And it's hard to get everybody on that same page to be like, okay, if we work together, we can actually get some things going. You know, they'll have to listen to us if we come together in mass and in numbers.
Now, you mentioned the Blueprint Project. Talk about that a little broader. And
So the Blueprint Project came out of, now I got to go back in time a little bit.
Okay.
Came out of what's called the Livability Lab. And the Livability Lab Lab is a event that Access Health puts on. It's a 100-day challenge in Muskegon, mm-hmm. where we get about 200 people in the room, and we present them with our data books. We collect data throughout the year, and we present them with our data books, mm-hmm. and they use those to form action teams.
Okay.
And those action teams have 100 days to come up with a plan or a program to address whatever issue they came up with. Mm-hmm. So one of the ones that was found was the need for economic stability in the hikes. Mm-hmm. So this is before I came on, but the blueprint got put together. And the whole focus of the Blueprint Project is that economic stability in Muskegon Heights through entrepreneurship and job readiness. Mm-hmm. But through our work, we start to realize, okay, this is a holistic approach. This is everything's connected. Uh-huh. Your health's not good. You can't get up and go to work. You don't got mm-hmm. transportation. You're sick. Now you're staying at home trying to do home remedies and stuff like that. Yes. So the Blueprint Project really has evolved into this holistic, like I call it the Walmart of helping. It's okay. The one-stop shop. We got a little bit of everything. We okay. have CHW services. I'm a CHW myself. Okay. We put together financial literacy courses. We do a lot of stuff with HW Farms. So they do urban farming classes. Mm-hmm. And the best thing, I think, is we're in between spaces right now. Okay. But the space when we're up and going is free to the community. So okay. if you want to do a training or a class or something or have a meeting for your business, mm-hmm. we have that space available.
For okay. It's good. Thanks.
Other than the prom, what else do you have come up in the near future?
We got our local government 101 class. And right now, a lot of our stuff is focusing on any community event where people are gathering. Access mm-hmm. Health to the Blueprint Project is going to be there. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be at the Place of Refuge, just having a picnic. We're going to be there this weekend.
Okay.
And then I don't have my calendar in front of me, obviously, but there's a lot of stuff okay. that we got going on. Just follow the Blueprint Project on Facebook, and I'll keep you updated on all of our happenings and everything.
Now, as OGs.
Yep.
talking to a middle G, yeah. MG.
Yeah. Unk. I think they call me Unk.
Okay. Unk. Okay. Yeah. All right. How do we convince your age and younger to get out and vote? Seriously.
Yeah. I think it's going to be that old school approach, talking to them. You're just going to have to talk to them, meet them where they're at, you know, mm-hmm. because we just had a financial literacy course. And the main ages that were there was 55 to 64, mm-hmm. you know, that retirement age. And it was all based on improving your credit, yeah. you know, financial hacks. And I would have loved to seen that at least 30 to 45 age range more represented. Mm-hmm. But I think it's really just getting to where people are at and talking to them, mm-hmm. you know, letting them know, hey, I know you feel like your voices are being heard, especially younger people.
Yeah.
I know you feel like your voices are being heard, but there's ways you can amplify your voice, and voting's one of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, really just getting the education to the younger people and people my age, just reminding them the kind of power that is out there. I think people my age is reminded of where we were, you know, especially in the Heights. You know, there was a time we were thriving in the Heights, you know, mm-hmm. And we can get back there, but it's going to take all of us to work together to get there.
So how important is it for us not only to talk to people, but to listen to you guys?
Very important. Not just me, if somebody like me, even if it's just your friend mm-hmm. that's trying to tell you something. Because I think sometimes, you know, our friends might take that, how can I say this? They might take a little bit of a mental step forward before us, you know, okay. and then they try to explain something to us. I'm like, man, I ain't listening to you, man. You just, you where I'm at. I ain't listening to you. We're sitting on the same steps. But just because you guys are physically in the same place doesn't mean you're mentally in the same space.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. So this person might actually have some information that you just take a second, you know, mm-hmm. drop your, I think ego is a huge part of it too, because our egos are, I don't need to listen. I got all the answers. Yeah. Like, you know, I made it this far. Yeah, but you could have made it easier. You could have made it further than where you are now.
That's good.
If you would have just listened.
That's good. Okay, so give us the event again.
Yep.
Give us contact information, how we can get a hold of you guys. Yep.
So the event again is Local Government 101, The Mystery of the Millage. It is July 25th at the Access Health Building. That is 1200 Ransom Street, downtown Muskegon. It goes from 1 to 2:30. I will be there. Commissioner Jay Kilgo will be there facilitating the class. And if you guys have any want the information, you can go to our Facebook page, which is the Blueprint Project on Facebook, or you can shoot me an email. And my email is rwilliams@access-health.com. .org.
Now, do me a favor, speak into that camera and talk to those people and let them know how important, why is it so important to get involved in this process?
Right here. I'm looking right there.
You're looking right there.
So, no, people, it's important for you to get out and vote, because if you're not happy with the things that's going on with your city, within the hikes right now, I know there's a lot of political things kind of going on in the hikes. So I didn't want to try to touch on it, but it's the elephant in the room. We got to. Voting is one way that you can make your voice heard. So get out to those local elections and just do all your research online. Ask people, people who you think might be a little bit more educated than you, ask them, what do they think? But at the end of the day, do your own research and come to your own conclusion on what do you think is best. But get out there and vote, make your voice heard. It's important.
There you go. The last thing that we talked about, that you are a comedian.
Yes.
Talk a little bit about that. We got a couple seconds.
Okay. Yeah. I'm a stand-up comedian. I've been performing for about 12 or 13 years now, all out of the Muskegon area here. A lot of people told me when I first got started that I couldn't do anything outside in Muskegon. I had to get outside Detroit and stuff like that. But I've been able to do some pretty cool stuff. I've worked with Gary Owen, Doug Stanhope, Bill Bellamy. I'm working with one of the Rock Brothers coming up in January. Okay. So yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm a stand-up comedian, Ricardo Winston, Williams Winston. You can find me on Facebook and all the other social medias. So
well, there you go, man of many hats and comedian, but not a community activist. And what you're doing is so, so important.
Thank you.
Don't be discouraged. Be a good cheer, because it is vital.
Thank you.
All right. Listen, this is community focused. This is, I'll tell you what, just good information that you just missed. You can also remember that these shows are repeated, and you can continue to watch them on 103.7 The Beat or M106. It's July 10th. We're going to take some time to show some love to our sponsors, and we'll see you in a couple minutes. Welcome back to Community Focus on this day in July. Who's our guest, sir?
Our next guest, you may recognize, she's been here before, Kylene G., the Executive Director of the Child Abuse Council of Muskegon County. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
A couple of things. Tell people a bit about yourself, and then let's talk about what the Child Abuse Council is.
Sure. So I'm in my 23rd year at the Child Abuse Council. I actually started there in 1997 as a CASA volunteer. Did that for 5 years, came on as the CASA director, did that for 10 years, and then the last 13 years I've been the executive director there. Born and raised in Muskegon, currently living in Whitehall, so on the northern end of the county.
Okay. Congratulations on your tenure. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now, when we say Child Abuse Council, you have a couple of about three main areas that you all kind of focus in. Tell people about those.
Sure. So we have three programs. The Child Abuse Council started in Muskegon County in the mid-70s as a prevention program. In 1997, we added the Children's Advocacy Center and the CASA program, and those are the three programs we have today. Our prevention program is in every single school in Muskegon County, Head Start through high school, teaching age-appropriate personal body safety, internet awareness, and human trafficking awareness, anti-bullying. Our CASA program trains community volunteers to advocate for kids as they work their way through the family court system due to abuse or neglect of no fault of their own. And our third program is the Children's Advocacy Center, and that program specializes in treating child victims who have been alleged to have been sexually abused.
Tell people a little bit about the agency. It's not like you guys are trying to take children away from you. You had a mission, and that mission is.
Yeah. So our mission is we will protect your child and your family through education, awareness, advocacy, and community collaboration. So a lot of people do get us confused with CPS. In fact, if you Google CPS, for whatever reason, Child Abuse Council comes up first, they come up second. So we get all these calls, and Google won't change it. I don't know how that happens, but No. So we are in Michigan, only CPS and law enforcement can investigate allegations mm-hmm. of abuse or neglect. We are a tool that they can use so they can come to our facility. I have trained forensic interviewers on staff. I have family advocates on staff that it's very child friendly. So if we didn't exist, kids would get interviewed in the back of a police car. They might get interviewed mm-hmm. again at the hospital and, you know, those multiple interviews. They walk into our facility. They sit in a room with one of my interviewers mm-hmm. and then law enforcement, CPS, whoever has to observe that interview sits in another room and watches it via mm-hmm. closed circuit TV. So the idea being the child is interviewed once in a very child friendly manner mm-hmm. and the investigators get what they need. To proceed with the case.
Not only child friendly, but safe, because getting in there, getting in your place is like getting in Fort Knox.
Yes, we are a lockdown facility. not only do we want to keep our staff safe, but you know, we have kids and families in there all the time. So you are not allowed in the building unless we know who you are and you, sure. you know, have an appointment. We are one of the few centers in the state that also conducts on-site medical exams. Mm-hmm. So we do that there. We have a beautiful medical room that is also child friendly. Mm-hmm. And we have services for those non-offending caregivers. So no perpetrators are ever allowed in our building. And I'm sure you can imagine sure. why.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, those non-offending family members, you know, as they come, as they're bringing their child in for that first time for an interview. You know, as you can imagine, this is one of the most traumatic times in a child's life. At the same time, it's a very traumatic time for that caregiver. There's a lot of guilt. There's a lot of fear. There's a lot of what did I, you know, all of these concerns. So while that child is being interviewed, we have family advocates who do that crisis intervention with that family mm-hmm. and talk to them about the services and, you know, what we can offer them and hook them up with community services as well. So letting them know, you know, they're not alone. We're here to listen and we will walk this path with you.
How important is for young people to deal with these issues now instead of getting to the age when they're older mm-hmm. then we have to deal with them older about things that happened in the past?
It's extremely important. Several studies have been done that untreated child abuse and neglect can lead to, you know, more homelessness, teen pregnancy, drug dependency, incarceration, all of those kind of things. So it's treating it at the point, you know, that's going to be with a child forever. It's not like you can make it be gone from them, but mm-hmm. giving them the tools to understand and how to live with it and move past it is extremely important. And if those services aren't done, it's just not good for them or the community.
Now, I want to make it clear to people, you're not a government agency.
We are not. We are a private 501c3, mm-hmm. a fully tax exempt charitable organization. Mm-hmm. We don't report to anybody except our, you know, our board of directors. Mm-hmm. Now we are accredited. So we are accredited with different agencies. So, you know, we meet those high standards. Mm-hmm. But we are not governed by a state agency or a federal agency. We are independent.
That also means we need dollars. So
We've been together too long.
Yeah.
You know where I'm going.
Yeah.
We're very fortunate that we get a lot of state and federal funding. Mm-hmm. But as I'm sure you've heard, and if you've had other, you know, people in here, it's always changing.
Sure.
It's never sure. forget. So every year we have to raise about 30-35% of our annual operating budget mm-hmm. through fundraising
sure.
or through local giving. All of the services that we provide are free,
wow.
regardless of what you are there for. So it's important that we keep that money coming in.
Okay. So speaking of fundraising, you're going to be involved with Rebel Road that's coming.
Yeah.
Up. Talk
yeah.
about that.
Yeah. So back in 2015, we received a call from some business owners in downtown Muskegon and said that at that time, what had been bike time mm-hmm. Had been there was no longer going to be on Western Avenue and they were going to go out to the racetrack. And those individuals were like, we still think bikes are going to be coming and we want to have something here for them. So they asked us if we would, you know, step in and kind of put together a rally. That first year we had about 3 months mm-hmm. To put this together, but we did. And it was a huge success for us and for the agency and for the downtown businesses. So we've been doing that ever since. And then, of course, Bike Time is still around, and that happens on the property of the Hot Rod dealership there downtown. So they happen at the same time. And, you know, the guests, as you're coming, unless you're in Muskegon and kind of know about it, but wherever you're coming from, it doesn't matter whether you call it Bike Time or Rebel Road, you're on the same, you know, you're walking from one end to the other.
Sure. So. And you're on the same street.
Yeah.
We're on the, we're all right there.
Yeah. And so now talk about what it takes for you guys to be involved in the staff, volunteers, what are you, and are you still looking for volunteers?
Yeah. So our committee is very small. Mm-hmm. It has myself and a couple staff members, and then it has about 5 to 6 community volunteers. So it's 8 or 9 of us putting on this entire event.
Wow.
And they are volunteers, so that every penny raised goes back into the services we provide. Okay. We usually take August off, and then we start in September, prepping for the next year. But it's, you know, they're very dedicated to it. It's a great mission. Bikers and the families and people that come down to see the bikes or to visit downtown are very supportive of children in general also of our agency.
So. Major kudos to you guys, because that is thousands of thousands of people. Now, what has been the response of the people, the average Joe Blow downtown, and it's related to your agency? Have you heard anything?
So I know that the city of Muskegon very much supports this event because it supports our agency. You know, the downtown businesses too. I mean, it's, you never can have a perfect event, right? And you can never make everybody happy, but we do the best that we can to work with the downtown businesses and all of the attendees and the city police and all of the city departments to make sure that it's a well-planned, well-executed, and safe as we can make it, you know, event. A lot of people think that we're just the beneficiary of the event, but we actually, it's our money that puts it on and it's our money that we back and we work it. So it's wonderful to us to see the support that we've been given over these 11 years.
And you're saying the biker community, which I'm not a part of, is a really, when you talk about children, big supporters of your efforts there.
Huge. And I mean, when you see these, I mean, I don't know if you guys go down there during this time, but you're going to see $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 bikes. Yes. Like these are not just little, you know, motorcycles pulling up. These are, it costs more than my house. And they, you know, the downtown is beautiful. It's a great area for it. You're right by the lake. We're very fortunate. Mark Dock, Max McKee gives us his parking lots out there. That's where we hold our camping. So we've really had a lot of support.
What's some of the things, say I'm just new to the event, what's some of the things that I can expect going down to Rebel Road?
You can expect, if you are coming down in a vehicle, parking can be a little
challenging.
Let's say Muskegon challenge.
Yeah, Muskegon challenge.
You know, people Muskegon, you know, if we have to walk a block, we complain.
Yes.
You know,
so. Yeah. So we do shut down Western Avenue, aka Rebel Road, Wednesday morning at 5 a.m. And from that point on, it's only for motorcycle traffic. So if you're on a bike, you can come right down in there. If you're not, you know, plan to park a ways a little way and come down there, but you're gonna see tons of merchandise vendors, motorcycle accessories, leather, other items. You're going to see a whole food alley. 3rd Street from Western to Clay has some amazing food vendors. Yeah. And then our main lot, which is across from the arena, that parking lot, we put on free concerts every night. We've got vendors in there. We have a custom bike show. We have an audio show, you know, all those different fun competitions. So lots to do. And I'd say for the most part, you know, it's really family friendly. If you're going to bring your family down, I would, you know, do it more during those daylight hours. When it gets a little darker out, the street gets a little fuller, and not really a place for, you know, young kids at that point for safety reasons, but a really good event and the opportunity to support a great cause and support local businesses.
Awesome. Yeah. I know just people, if you want to just kind of just watch a bicycle, just come out and sit on Western and just, I mean, they parade up and down the street, which is what they're supposed to do, but it is, it's a nice time here. And I've never been on a motorcycle in my life. I had to come down and just watch the motorcycles and imagine it. I might ride one day. But just
a lot of the attendees do exactly that, just come down to watch. And this year, again, we'll be doing our veterans tribute. We salute our veterans. My dad, uncle, grandpa, all were veterans.
Thank you.
Yes. And so we hold that on Wednesday. It's from 5 to 5:30. Veteran motorcycle groups are escorted down Western Avenue. We have a flyover. They do a Purple Heart. We have a local group called Rolling Thunder, and they provide a lot for veterans who are in need. And every year they do like a Purple Heart ceremony. And so they're going to do another one this year. So just a really good time. And it's an opportunity to salute our veterans.
Yeah. So this is, I mean, you say you take a break in August. How do you
do all this?
When all this is over?
I know.
You
know.
Again, you start planning September for next year.
I should rephrase that. I don't get a break. The committee gets a break because we have three events, fundraising events for the agency right in August.
Okay.
And then on top of running, you know, the agency, we do through those three programs, we serve over 17,000 kids every year. So we're busy. Yeah. There's only 11 of us, staff, myself included. So we're very busy. But we do get to take at least a little bit of a break from Rebel Road, which is the biggest one and the most, work heavy, I guess, would be for us. But we have a Mona Lake boat poker run in August.
Okay.
We have our golf outing in August. And then not many people know this, but there's two things that we do every year just for the kids that come into our agency. And one of them is we take busloads of kiddos to the zoo in August. We take them to Binder Park Zoo. A lot of these kids have never been on a charter bus, let alone to a zoo.
Sure.
And when they get back, they get a brand new backpack picked out specifically for them, filled with backpack supplies. So we'll be picking that up right after Rebel Road. And then during the holiday season, we provide a gift and a blanket and a stuffed animal for every child and any other sibling in that household that has come through our agency. So we're busy most of the time.
With the need so great, what drives you to continue to stay active in this business?
That's a good question. It's a hard business. And before I came here, I was in the for-profit corporate world. What I've found is I really like that people and families are my bottom line. It's not a dollar bottom line like it is in the corporate world. Are there tough days? Absolutely. Absolutely. You're never prepared for all of those. But to be given the opportunity to help a family, to be there with them, to see them on their path of healing, there's no greater honor, in my opinion.
That's good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. One of the things you mentioned early on, you know, you mentioned family-friendly interview rooms, family-friendly exam rooms. Tell people what that means.
Yeah. So our facility is meant to be very child-friendly. When the kids walk through that door, they pretty much run the show. And once they figure that out, it's quite fun times. But when you walk in, you are going to see our turtle tank. You're going to see kids' artwork. You're going to see this beautiful tree that we have painted on our wall that has little heart leaves that kids write messages on. You're going to see fun colors, you know, fidgets, things that will, it's a calming setting versus walking into a police station or a sterile ER or something like that. The kids run there. They decide, you know, if a kid decides that partway through they're done with the interview, they walk out. We don't stop them. That is, you know, our job is not to further traumatize them. We're going to meet them where they're at the pace that they would like to be met at. So, I would invite you both to come see our facility. It's pretty amazing.
I've been there.
Okay.
I've been there, but I'd like to.
Yeah, we change it kind of all the time, but it's pretty amazing. And those kiddos are pretty amazing.
Would you please, please explain to people when it comes down to this, your agency, would you please explain to people that there is a huge need and there's things going out in the community and you guys are really needed?
Yes. Yes. So, you know, even if we could talk about the wonderful services and the staff and the programming that we do all day, but at the end of the day, child abuse and neglect is not something that we can combat alone, mm-hmm. right? That is a community issue. And we need all the help that we can get. We need community members to be educated about it. And we mm-hmm. offer several training programs on that. We need you to be mindful of other children in your life and don't turn a blind eye on that. And support agencies like ours who are helping those people and doing that, you know, that ground level work where we're trying to help this family turn around what's going on with them and save these children. And you know, it's starting to work. Like two, three years ago, I remember, you know, there would be like 1,500 confirmed victims in Muskegon County in 1 year, mm-hmm. you know, of child abuse and neglect. Last year it was 750.
So it's going
to now I know we both know that not every, you know, thing gets reported.
Yes.
And can we directly say that our prevention does that? No, because if our prevention programming in the school protects a child, we'll never know because that child's never going to come here. But I have to think that it's, you know, our agency and the community partners that we have, that it's making a difference. And it's because people take the time and the desire to get educated, to learn about it. You know, sometimes when people ask me what I do for a living and I tell them, I get two responses. One is going to be, oh my gosh, you know, and they want to engage and talk about it. Mm-hmm. And the other one is, oh, and the conversation's done. And, you know, and I get that people don't want to talk about it. Mm-hmm. That doesn't make it go away.
Sure.
Right. And there's many ways to get involved without having to hear those stories or, you know, that. But if you, every citizen should be educated enough and have the compassion that if they think a child is being harmed, they should do something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want to ask you, how are we doing as Muskegon County with internet? We know one time, you know, well, you know, every other week we'll read stories about, you know, kids using the internet, taking advantage of. Are we doing any better as parents in this community of making sure we're watching what our kids are doing, what they're doing on the internet, who they're communicating with?
It's an ongoing issue. I think that the prevention and awareness tools are out there, mm-hmm. and we are reaching some more parents, but a lot of our interviews are kids who are being victimized over the internet, whether it's in a chat room, whether it's on a video game, or whether it's in one of the hundreds of apps, you know, that are out there. And, you know, law enforcement agencies have specific departments that will go through and try and shut these apps down. But once they do, 10 more pop up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So it's really that parent taking enough to not just set a kid off with a phone or a computer or an iPad, put those controls on it and monitor what they're doing, because we get so many victims. You know, the FBI and Homeland Security is in our office probably at least twice a month using our facility and our staff because of those exact cases. Mm-hmm. Some of them that, you know, go outside of the United States, but most of them because they're, you know, happening across state lines or mm-hmm. here. And it's, we get so many of those. Mm-hmm. I would like parents to be more involved.
Now, how important is it? And then do you guys offer, you know, because we have a lot of people that are first time parents and there's no manual on being a parent. And then they have, well, this worked, the old school methods worked for them, worked for their parents. So I'm going to bring that in, but that's not necessarily true. Do you guys offer parenting classes or access to where parents can go to get educated?
Yeah, we don't specifically offer parenting classes. We offer support groups for those non-offending parents and support groups for those kids that have been child victims. But our family advocates are that connection to the community. So they have all those connections and those resources. So they can hook them up with parenting resources. They can hook them up with housing assistance, utility assistance, things like that. We do have a, what we call a care closet at our facility. So it's got a lot of, you know, household items, hygiene items, clothing, things like that. If a family comes in for an interview, we'll take them right back there and they can take whatever they need. We don't do like food or any of those other types of assistance, but our advocates will hook them up with that
okay.
in Thank the community. You. We are also the hub. Our agency runs the multidisciplinary team on child abuse and neglect in Muskegon County. So once a month, the prosecutor, law enforcement, CPS, foster care, all of them come to our building and they discuss their current cases in an effort to, you know, kind of keep things on track, which ultimately the goal is to reduce the trauma for that child and that family as they go through that process.
Okay. You mentioned working with law enforcement. How is Muskegon County in terms of law enforcement, prosecutor's office, in terms of their sensitivity, their training to be able to deal with these areas?
Really good. I mean, our prosecutor, you know, DJ he served on our board for many years. His whole team is very much on board with, you know, doing what we need to do for this county. The law enforcement as well. Law enforcement is like any other agency. They are, you know, don't have enough manpower and all of that. But they do. We put on a training every year. Our agency puts on a training for our whole MDT of Muskegon County, and they will send them to that. And anything we need, they're there. Nobody has enough time or enough manpower. But everybody stretches themselves to get it done. And so we are very supportive and fortunate for the law enforcement, the prosecution, and the DHHS workers that we have here. Okay. We have a good relationship with them, and they're all very hardworking, compassionate people.
So let's get back to the event. Yeah. Rebel Road happening, when, where, how can people get in touch if they want to volunteer? Here's your spiel.
All right. So Rebel Road takes place Wednesday, July 15th through Saturday, July 18th. So next week, we have its own website. There's rebelroad.org. We also have Rebel Road on our Facebook. And once they get down there, they can see, you know, the schedules posted. We have volunteer information up there, all of the happenings, you know, but really just come down and check it out. It's hard to describe to somebody that's never been to it. It's a spectacle in of itself.
It is. And the thing is that people have their own mindset of what they think about bikers because of what they see on TV. I know a bunch of biker groups and they care so much for organizations like yours.
They do. And so do the attendees. Like I said, we get just as many people who come down, not on motorcycles, who want to walk around and look at the motorcycles, enjoy the great food, enjoy the downtown businesses, and, you know, and support a good cause. So it's a lot of fun. I don't really get to enjoy much of it. If I have a few hours, I'm going to try and catch a quick nap, you know, 3-hour nap during the night. But no, it's a lot of work, but it's worth it for the kids that it serves.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming in. You know, one of probably some of the most important guests we have. For you and the folks the work you all are doing there.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for giving me the opportunity. I love coming in here.
If you give some advice to someone that sees a child that has bruises or something like that, what should they do?
So all you need to do, the law is like, if you have a reasonable suspicion that a child is being harmed or is in harm's way, then you call CPS. It is not your job to investigate it. It is not your job to prove whether it's right or wrong. And in the state of Michigan, by law, your identity will be held confidential. So there is no reason not to call. And, you know, sometimes people say, well, I don't want to upset that adult. Okay. Think about if you were that child. They can't do anything. And if you, as a full-grown adult, don't feel like you can step out there and do something to help them, then we've got a problem.
Or you can call Silent Observer, or there's so many things that you can do. Yes. Thank you so much. You can hang with us for a couple minutes.
Okay.
I just want to really thank you for the job that you do. For some of us that grew up in domestic violence and stuff like that and was able to grow out of that, you guys are so important.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right, Rebel Road is coming up. I guarantee you will have a ball. And like she said, some of these bikes cost more than all three of our homes. And you really want to see them. And you know, that mindset that you might have, what you think about bikers, go down and you will see some of the most friendly people that care about this community. Anything you want to add, Mel?
No, come on, have a good time and enjoy yourselves, and you can help a really good cause.
Actually, this would be great for you because you like to watch music, and there is music that's done by every other block.
Yes, yes.
All right, listen, this is at the end of the show, and we've got a second, and I really want to take the opportunity. We said go out and reach someone. This is especially important. We say if you have a child, and there's a child next to them, and they can't afford to be in that pay-for-play sport, you never know who you're helping. Yeah. Help that individual and help that child. If you are a parent and you suffered from domestic violence or you suffer from child trauma, do not hold that information in. Get help, because what that we end up seeing is that ends up affecting your whole life. Yeah. So take that opportunity to do that. Lastly, I have to say it again. If I don't say it again, happy birthday to my wife, Emily. Again, I am busy, gone half the time, and she is just, she has my back, and she's had my back for 30 years, going on 31 in August. And I want to say happy, and it's a big one, 65th birthday. Yeah, I'm going to put your age out there.
Wondering if you're really going
to do that. Yeah, most people say you're going to do that. No, because she is aged well. And I'll take this opportunity to say I love you and happy birthday. That's it, Community Focus. We'll see you next week. Take care. God bless.